This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 502. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me on this historic day in American history. It's the first day after the U.S. presidential election. And I'm just happy, Cole Coffee, because with that all in the rearview mirror, this country can be united once again. We can all come together.
I mean, we didn't drift far apart.
Regardless of what side of the fence people are on, I think we can all just say we're Americans and we're working on this thing together, and all the divide is behind us now at this point.
That's it. I thought you were just super psyched for UFC Vegas 100, but you're right. You know, it's the great reunification movement that's going to happen.
It's been tough through this whole thing, as everybody's, but now that the results are in, everybody will just agree together. Now, of course, that's not going to happen.
Yes.
But, you know, we are moving forward at least. How weird was it, though, man, to see Dana White up there, like, giving a speech at the – I mean, I know that he's been, like, at the RNC. You know, he's been at the RNC. That's the Rear Naked Choke. That's not.
He's been at the Rear Naked Choke.
He's been at the Rear Naked Choke. He's been at these conventions, and I know, he's spoken, but, man, to be there, like, by Trump's side, and then, like, Trump calls him up on stage, and, hey, let's say a few words or whatever. I saw Joe Rogan, you know, in the days leading up to the election, like, tweeted something, and was like, oh, by the way, yes, this is an endorsement.
That didn't surprise me at all. Like, for me, I feel like Joe's been pro-Trump for a while. Maybe he just didn't actually say it, but everyone made it, like, a big deal, like, Rogan support him. I was like,
Well, we all kind of knew that for a while.
It was
just to see that he, you know, went ahead and gave the official stamp of approval.
Although, because Kamala didn't go on a show, right? That was the difference.
How weird is that? That was like a big talking point, right? Like,
they made it a certainly big deal.
But how amazing! I mean, it's just to me, and let me just throw this out there right now. I'm about the least political person you'll ever meet. Like, I don't follow politics at all.
I didn't see your I voted sticker when I came by your house looking for it.
You won't see the I voted sticker. I don't know. Like, even like the local stuff. Like, I'm trying to read the ballots. I'm like, what is all this stuff? Like, I'm not a very political person.
So you didn't vote to get slavery removed from the Constitution, the bad Constitution?
I actually did vote for that one. I was like, first of all, I had to read. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, why is slavery listed in our Constitution as a punishment. Yeah, and so that was a weird one.
But it's weird because the way that they were going against it, I know I'm going to end up saying this wrong, is that the fact that white people didn't want it to get rid of it, so there's the people are saying yay, nay, is the fact that the prisoners are trying to say that it's slavery for them having been forced to do work inside the prisons is called, what's the word, indentured servitude, something along those lines.
Forced
but they're
labor,
trying
basically.
To say they were forced, like, in slavery. So they're saying, well, if you change this, now the prisoners here in the state are going to stop working. I'm like, that's not going to happen. I'm like, you want to stop working? We can get you out of here. We have a chair. You want to sit in the chair?
Oh, God, want to sit in the chair and get out of here? It was a weird thing to be on the ballot, though. I had to reread it. I'm like, what? It's still in our state constitution?
It's funny. What goes to show when guys like us, and I think most people listen to the show, we're pretty bubbleized. Like, we live. I mean, outside of, like, college sports now, I'm like, even that I miss when I see – like, I miss half the Buckeye show. My crew didn't make it to the MLS Cup Finals or whatever.
It's like
there's little other things that I barely can keep up, and I finally catch that. So this little stuff with – I guess it's not little, but some of the other stuff on the ballots that pop up that I had no idea. It's because I'm not paying attention to any of that other little stuff.
How should primaries be voted in and stuff?
That I didn't have a problem with.
I just didn't know. I was like, I don't know what's right.
So what
wrong.
It was saying is, like, so say right now in most – I don't know if other states, but in Nevada – you register with the voter board as either a Democrat, Republican, or Independent.
Right.
So I, as an Independent, cannot vote in your primary, say, if you're a Republican or if you're a Democrat.
Right.
I cannot pick that.
Yep.
What this would pass is saying that it doesn't matter if I'm in that party. I can vote in your primary.
I actually voted against it. And again, I'm not a very political person,
but
it seemed to me that just opens the options for tomfoolery to happen, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's a wonderful, wholesome phrase way to put it.
Well, I was starting to, I was going to have an F word to start out with.
A bunch of tomfuckery, but tomfoolery.
Yeah, because why, if you say I'm a registered Republican or whatever, yep. And then you go vote in the Democratic primary, it's like you could try to manipulate who they're going against.
You could pick the worst candidate possible and make that be your option.
So I voted against that.
Yes, that was a good one.
I did think that they had whoever was funding that or pushing that had the most brilliant marketing in here. Did you see any of the billboards around town?
No.
Because it was like Proposition 3, right?
I'd have to leave the house for that.
You mean, yeah, if it's not on the way to the Apex,
if
it's not in the three blocks on Jones Boulevard.
If I can't look out the window here and see it, I did not see it.
So they had billboards around town that said, don't make Nevada California or something along those lines. But it's like, you know, because most people that are in Las Vegas are like, these damn Californians are just moving in and they're changing everything. So that was like their
locusts.
Yeah. So that's their whole thing. It's like, don't make Nevada California. I was like, that is actually brilliant marketing because most people that live here are like, I don't want it to be
like California. I didn't want to read up on it. You had me at the slogan.
That's it. I'm like, you didn't have to know. So anyway, but
as for Dana thing,
that's what I was going
to
say.
I went to bed early. I watched the highlight this morning because
I didn't see it live. I didn't see it live either.
I saw USA Today put it and then they had me grab it and stick it on our YouTube channel. I got up early yesterday, and by the time it got to like 9:30 or maybe a little after 10, I knew nothing was officially going to decide until like the wee hours.
Right.
And I was like,
I went to bed.
It does me no good to just sit up here and watch this and just be like, whatever. So I literally went to bed, and then I think I woke up at like 2:30 in the morning, looked, and said, okay, this is the projected one. I was like, okay, let me just go back to bed.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I did see that this morning.
Seeing Dana, again, not that we're surprised. Dana's been supporting Trump,
and
he's been speaking for him, but still, to be there at that moment, I thought was crazy. And then,
I saw Colby is out in the crowd as well. There was a picture I saw with Dana and Colby, and they're as pink as can be. Like, they're super excited. But it's funny, you know, like when Dana gets really excited, his face gets very flush.
Yeah.
But, like, this pic of, like, him and Colby, they both look like they were just, like, chucking up, living it high on the horse.
I didn't see that one.
But, yeah, so I saw that. I was like, oh, of course Colby's there. We haven't seen him fight in ages,
but he's there.
He's showing up at the celebration.
Well, I thought it was wild to see him. Like I said, I didn't see it till this morning either. And then, again, I did think it was wild. It just goes to show that I think maybe even because we are in the bubble sometimes, right? I think maybe we even forget maybe like how big of a thing Rogan is outside, right? I mean, he's obviously in MMA. He's a big star. He's nominated every year for the World MMA Awards.
Yeah.
We know, you know, we see him at all the pay-per-views.
I mean, when you're used to eating with him at the airport,
you know.
Just like, it's just Joe.
How about that? Do you know this is funny. One time, had breakfast in the airport in Australia. It was me, Joe Rogan, and Tony Hinchcliffe.
Yeah, I was there.
Right? How crazy is that?
It's cool.
That's the guy. I forgot you were there that day. We were all together that day.
Yeah.
That's right. Good. So I thought you were just poking fun at me. So you were there too. What are you poking fun at me for?
No, that's why I brought it up because I was like,
there you go. That's just what we do.
Yeah, it's just
But how weird is that, right? Like, I mean, Hinchcliffe obviously became a huge part of this whole story.
Yeah.
And then obviously Rogan again. I think I forget sometimes how big he is. Like, people were really, as you were kind of joking, people were so upset that Kamala didn't do his
show. I think if anybody understood where Rogan was, I mean, Rogan's leaned towards, it'd be like if Trump went on a heavily, you know, liberal-leaning sided show. Like, you know, it would have been the same thing. And plus, a three-hour obligation is pretty crazy.
During the middle of a presidential campaign.
Yeah, I mean, like, who's going to give up 3 hours? You know, like, I think maybe if he would have said, come on for like a 30-minute segment, maybe she would have did it or whatever.
Right.
But, I mean, I think also, too, who knows what. I think the punches would have been probably thrown a lot harder. And I think for her, she's like, we're so close. I don't want to go and look like an asshat on a nationally public, you know, on a show that has, like, nearly 20 million listeners. Like, no, I probably shouldn't. But I don't think it was that. But it's funny because, like, Fox News and others are like, you know, like, that's what sealed the deal for Joe. He, after Kamala didn't go on a show, he was like, I'm for, you know, Donald Trump. I was like, bro.
No.
Kamala was never in the conversation for him.
You know what was really funny is, because I did watch some of the early polling, and I thought one of the early stats was so clear as day, like everybody knew, but it said, like, when did you decide your vote? And, like, 96% of people on both sides of the vote in the exit poll had, like, decided, like, before September.
Like,
so it's so funny. They do all this last-second campaigning and all the text messages and all the phone calls and all the mailers that you get. And, like, most people already knew who they were voting for.
Now that I think about it, I have not got a text yet today.
I haven't either. I didn't even think about that. Oh my god!
It's been I've been nonstop. Like
we can all be unified on that. We can all be.
We are all one. Right. Now that I think about it, I have not all day. I hope none are stuck in the system. That was the biggest thing that just drove me crazy.
Like, tomorrow, like the election may be over.
Make sure you get out and vote. You know, like god. Oh, that got stuck in the queue somewhere. But yeah, I mean, the day is here. It came. It's passed. You know, now let's go forward as a country and see what it is. Because at the end of the day, you know, we're all a bunch of people that love seeing people beat the shit out of each other.
And we're getting another unified on that.
And we're getting another good one this weekend as well. You know, we the media day got switched up today. We were supposed to have Cody Garbrandt and Miles Young, which sucks because that fight was going to be a banger.
That was going to be a banger.
You know, I think a lot of people are wondering what was going to happen with Cody after this one, depending on how it happens. I don't know if this was the last one on his contract, but I think this was one where a lot of people are like, you know, are we going to see Cody Garbrandt after this one? It should he lose,
right?
That being said. But then when we lost that fight, I mean, one, Miles John's an exciting fighter to watch. I mean, I wanted to see how Cody was going to look against him. So I was definitely a little sad that that didn't happen. So they got pulled from Media Day today, and I was my fingers crossed. I was like, please, it's going to be four people.
Yeah, because it was only six people.
Because it was only six scheduled.
But we should clarify before anybody jumps in. You're like, these complaining son of a guns. It was just you and one other person in the media room today.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. That is a lot of work. So the less people you can bring, the better at that point. Because I was credentialed to go, but we had a production meeting today because I've got two CFFC match day events next week that we had to finish planning for. So I got pulled aside. Oscar Willis is usually there, but he ended up having like a dental appointment.
Dental appointment.
Alex Buchanan is usually there, but throughout his back. Amy Kaplan is usually there, but she's on vacation.
Back from vacation.
It was just you two guys in there. So literally, I just want to make sure before anybody goes, listen to this guy complaining. Like,
and I'm glad Armando showed up.
Yeah. You have to sit there and interview fighters in the greatest sport of all time. But, I mean, when there's only two people in the room, it's where and your primary job is actually a videographer.
Shooting and editing, So I had to sit there and stop. I couldn't get my first edits even started because immediately they brought somebody. We were supposed to start at noon. They came in early. We had two people in and done before the actual start time. And that's me starting and pretty much running the interview. And then Armando, and I'm happy that Armando hopped in there, you know, and kind of asked some things at the end that I could sort of just breathe, you know, after it or whatever. Because sometimes, too, when they just rushed it in, because we had people that came in. That was the first time we've ever seen Rainier de Ritter.
By the way, so I didn't get to watch all of Media Day.
Did you watch his interview?
But I watched him. I definitely watched him because, A, I like him a lot. I think as a dude, he's just a good dude. Yeah. I've interviewed him before when he was fighting for one championship. I think he's a great fighter. I think most people probably have no idea who he is because they haven't been watching one championship. He's a great fighter. But, yes, I did happen to catch the part. I thought he did great.
He killed it.
By the way, I mean, he was very open and honest and direct about everything. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, he didn't necessarily throw one under the bus, but he sure didn't try to sugarcoat anything about, like, I needed to go, things are unprofessional over there, et cetera, et cetera.
This whole retirement thing, and then he comes
back.
Retirement,
he's like, there was no retirement, dude. He's like, I just kind of had to get out of the contract. You know, I just tried, there was no retirement. But the part where he pronounced his name.
Yeah, at the beginning?
Oh, my God.
I almost didn't keep
that. He's like, just go with RDR.
Just go with that. You know, and like, all right, so that's me.
Well, I was watching your live stream.
That's like me, like, but I left it in the video as well.
Did you? Good.
Because, I mean, like, part of it, like, that's me wanting to just get him to open up. But it turned out to be a fun little moment because, you know, how he just sort of said his name. And he's like, just go with RDR. That's all you're going to need.
I feel like he stepped it up a little. I've never heard him say it like that.
But that was what was kind of fun. And I think that's why I decided to leave it in there, you know.
Yeah.
But going from there, and a lot of times I feel like if you do stuff like that, and that's when people are like, you know, you have people that always want to criticize interview. They're like, oh, you're throwing softballs. Did I need to ask that at all? No, but did I feel like it helped set the tone for like the interview? 100%.
Absolutely.
Because after that point, he had already had his first sort of like chuckle, laugh, had a little fun moment, and then boom, we can get into the interview. And I thought I'm not trying to say like, oh, I did a great job, but I felt like the whole interview felt like a good interview.
I thought it
was a good conversation back and forth or whatever. But that also goes, you know, and that's not just me. You're talking about a guy especially that has belts in one. Say whatever you want about other promotions. When you're at a championship level and then you're used to talking on the mic, it shows.
Yes.
And he was so comfortable and he was so smooth, man. He just went through the interview. And afterwards, I was like, when I looked over at Armando, I was like, well, first I was like, Armando, thanks for hopping in there. But I was like, dude, that was good, right? Like, that felt good. And he's like, dude, I thought that was great, you know, and that's all him, man. So I'm very excited to see his performance get in there. But
this,
you know,
matchmaking was perfect, too.
I think so.
Him and Gerald Meerschaert was the perfect matchup to make.
Gerald's a dog, man. Like, he just they throw these fucking characters at him, and just like, you have, and I kind of joke with him. I was like, dude, you have a great performance. You know, you put on this, you know, you get performance of the night, whatever it was, and then they reward you with the former champ over in one coming and making his debut. I was like, is that a reward, or is that like a what is this moment, you know? And he fully embraced it, man. He's a different breed, man. And I had to remark about his stash coming in. His stash when he comes in on some fight weeks, it's just strong. I love it.
That man has some excellent facial hair choices. Yeah. But yeah, most submissions in UFC middleweight history, Miwa Rainer, RDR, a brilliant submission artist as well, yep. Multiple title holder. You know, lost a couple times, but like, I mean, lost to Anatoly Malkin, who, like, I can't even believe fight together. Like, yeah. That dude is just, you know what I mean? Like, credit to RDR for taking it. But if you go back and watch those fights, like, yep. It's comical how big Anatoly is.
And there's a reason why it was that heavyweight. I mean, that dude, I mean, he's a monster. I mean, he still has two belts over there, right?
Yep.
I mean,
three.
Is it three now?
Yes.
He went down to the middle.
Savage, man.
It's ridiculous. That dude is – it's absolutely nuts. So, I mean, like – but it's cool. I mean, like, I was – you know, so – you know, going back to when we sort of started the media day, was a little crazy because, like, the first person that was supposed to come in on the schedule was Carlos Prates. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Rainier comes in. I'm like, it's the first time I'm seeing him in person. They're never doing an announcement. They're like, hey, guys, this is what I'm – so I'm looking quickly. I'm like – obviously, you see the height, and I kind of just made – I quickly
but
figured out who it was.
You've never seen him in person before.
I've never seen him in person, and I'm like, okay, who is this? And the same thing when Sopai came in. I'm like, who's this? and I'm like – so that's why if – I didn't put in a lot of videos, but if you watch the stream, so how I did it, and I did the same sort of thing with Bernardo. This is me taking you behind the screen. Same thing when I knew it was Rainier, but I wanted to open him up, so I got him to pronounce his name. But when Bernardo came in, I was like, Bernardo Sopai, right? Is that correct? And he's like, yeah, Sopai. And I was like, but part of that was like, who the fuck are you?
Let me double check I got the right person.
But, you know, I mean, like, obviously, like,
could you say your name for me again? It's John Morgan. Like, it's John Morgan.
Okay, just making sure. I thought it was Morgan. Jean. But it's cool. I thought his was a pretty good one, too. But, yeah, so it was a little crazy. And it was a little frantic, you know. So immediately by the time I got done with the first interview, they immediately brought the next one in. And so I'm scrambling, flipping through my notes. And then before I knew it, I was like three or four, like, videos behind.
Right.
Because then you're trying to, like, you know, interview, you're trying to be engaged, whereas normally if other people are sort of running, I can actually focus on the video and get the videos out. But luckily, you know, there wasn't like a crazy pressing need. There was nobody else there. It's not like we're trying to beat somebody to press or whatever. But still, my typical job when I'm there is to shoot.
That's the junkie way, right? That's what we've always done.
And then push it out, you know? So, but still, I mean, all in all, it was fun. It was long, you know. Again, Bernardo was added. Bernardo, right?
Yep.
Bernardo and Ricky were added to the co-main last minute, so then they were in turn added to the media day, so they got brought on where we were hoping it was going to be four, so it just kind of added a little. This morning when I'm cramming, I'm trying to write some notes together, I was like, oh, great, all right, now we're going to do whatever. But then we get there, we get this early start, and then when it's time and it's like 1:15, we're like, okay, where's Ricky? And they're like, he's not here yet. And then we're like 30 minutes later, where's
like,
Ricky?
Come on.
Oh, he's on his way here. I was like, where's he at? Is he in Arizona? I was like, what is taking so long?
He's on a plane right now.
He's over getting a lottery ticket on the state line in California. He'll be here shortly. He's coming from Prim. But, you know, oh boy, that's an interview. I know we'll talk about him. But we sort of had a running joke beforehand because whenever we – I think when the first time we saw him, it was all the – you know what I'm saying?
And you feel me?
We were joking about what was going to be the about heavily prevalent, whether it's going to be, you feel me's or.
He's gotten rid of you feel
you
me.
You feel me.
That one's gone.
Yeah, that one did not make it. I don't think that showed up at least.
But you know what I'm saying is now doubled in frequency.
Quadrupled. I think he said it, that first question I asked him, I think it was like almost 10 times. So we joked about it in the back since we said it. Sam, I didn't go back and double check his math, but Sam, the audio guy, came up after the fact, and he's like, guys, 77. I was like, what? 77 what? He's like, He said, you know what I'm saying, 77 times in that interview.
Oh, my God.
Let me, I'm going to try to pull up. I can't remember how long the interview was.
I love the guy, by the way. I love it. So it's not like we're trying to rip on the guy or poke fun of him or whatever.
He's got such an infectious personality. I mean, and he just got such a unique personality that it's not comical. It's like almost like a cartoon. It's like such a crazy like persona that you're just like, what is this?
Yep.
The interview was almost 9 minutes, 55 seconds. That's counting the end graphic. That's roughly 15 seconds, 10 seconds. So less than 10 minutes and there were 77.
So that's 7.7 times per minute.
Per minute.
So that means.
You know what I'm saying? That's a lot.
You know what I'm saying? That's like every 8 seconds you're getting a, you know what I'm saying? That's amazing.
You know what they titled? I didn't do my title, but you know what they titled the title for that video?
What did they title it?
Do you know what Ricky Tercios is saying?
Oh, no.
Co-main event.
So wrong. Oh, man. Hopefully Ricky can have a good time with that.
I hope so.
But it's
but I think it could have made it a little bit more catchy. Like, that just like, do you know? That sounds like, do you know what I'm saying? I think we could have phrased it where it sounded like a joke within a joke.
It's like,
do you know what he's saying? You know, but whatever.
He is an infectious guy, man. I love that guy. Neil Magny, Carlos Prochnow in the main event. I mean, looking at the odds, my God, Carlos is a massive favorite. Completely understand why. Understand the hype and the excitement around the guy for sure. I mean, Neil Magny has definitely played spoiler before. He's certainly been the guy to
Mike
step
Malott
in.
Mike was another one that was the up-and-coming guy.
That was a huge one, right? I don't know, though. I mean, look.
I ain't going to lie. I love Neil, but I picked Prochnow.
I get
it,
man. Neil's that guy. You look at his last three, Michael Morales, Mike Malott, Ian Machado, Gary. I mean, and then just everybody. I mean, Shavkat, Gilbert, Max Griffin. Yeah. I mean, Phil Rowe. I mean, everybody this fight. It's amazing. D-Rod. D-Rod was another one that he kind of upset as well. So
that list that just goes back and back. Dude was fighting Lorenz Larkin, Hector Lombard back in 2016, Gastelum before that, Eric Silva, Demian Maia back in 2015, Alex Garcia 2014, Rodrigo de Lima 2014, Tim Means in 2014.
That's crazy.
Dude, it just goes back and back and back. It's
love
unreal.
That guy. It is. I mean, I get it. He's not the most popular figure on the roster, but as far as like respected and I mean, just the dude does not turn down any challenge, is a gamer, can ruin things for anybody.
Yep.
I don't particularly.
And what bad thing can you say about him? You know, he's not one to go out there and talk shit about a fighter that you can then go back and throw it in his face. Like, oh, remember that stinky performance? And the whole fight week before that, you were talking all that trash about his wife and his mother.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with him, you know. But I did make sure, you know, being the guy I am, coming up on, was it Monday or is it Sunday? Is Veterans Day.
Yes.
So Neil is actually a veteran. So I made sure to start the interview bringing up the old veteran thing, thanking him for his service, and got him to talk about that again. Because when you go back and you look at what that time happened, he was training MMA while he was still enlisted. But part of the stuff, even within the training, there were different stuff you could either sort of like the combative sort of training that they would train you within the military, MMA and all that stuff sort of fit the bill of the training that he would have to sort of undertake anyways. So he just did it more and more and more, and he credits part of that MMA to, like, helped him dealing with stuff. You know, he served over in Operation Iraqi Freedom, so where they were tasked with, you know, if some of the troops got injured and stuff, they would help come pick him up, get him all set up, and then get him back to take care and stuff. So, like, being in any sort of those, like, high-stress situation, but MMA and all the other sort of stuff and the training at that time helped better prepare his mind as well. And then he started talking about the guys he used to work out with when he was starting his thing, like Matt Hughes and Robbie Lawler and all these cats. And I was just like,
old school.
Dude, it's so crazy. Yeah. So when you see him fighting like this upcoming guy who's an absolute beast and a stud, it's just like, how are you still doing it? You know, but one of the great things that I thought was awesome talking to Prochnow. Dude, I forgot how good his English was.
Yeah.
So he came in. I was like, wait, where's the translator? And I was like, oh, shit. And then he just started gabbing. It was no problem at all. The dude gave the utmost respect and a lot of praise towards what Magny had done. Like, he'd done his research and was really, really highly talented skilled. And I loved that. You know, this is – I mean, obviously, when you got a guy like Magny, there's no shortage of tape on him. But to hear like one of these upcoming guys that could easily be like, oh, the old timers need to go.
Yeah.
We're the new generation. He wasn't saying any of that. And I was so grateful because to me, that's what showed a lot of respect. And it showed that he is taking Neil serious. Like he prepared for a dangerous Neil, not an over the hill Neil, not a guy that's, oh, you know, lost his last fight and all this other stuff. So I think he also realized, like what you said, he has played spoiler to a lot of guys on their rise. And I think he sees that
you
that could be a potential
this guy, and it could be a big mistake.
Yep.
I you know, not that I'm really making any official picks anywhere, but Carlos Prates would have to be the pick. But Neil Magny, again, you just can't assume anything when Neil Magny's in there, because if your pace is going to be an issue, if you know, your grappling is going to be an issue,
your cardio is going to be an issue.
Yeah, man, he will. Yep. He will expose you for that. But a big moment for Carlos Prates, to say the least. As you said, it's UFC Vegas 100, not the 100th Apex event, right? There were some pay per views and stuff along the way, but it is the hashtag 100.
Yeah, that's weird because at first, like when the PR staff was like, "It's Apex 100," and I was like, I don't think that's right.
It's not, because there were some pay-per-views in there that were
that
numbered.
We dubbed Vegas?
That didn't get the hashtag because they were a numbered pay-per-view event. They just got the numbered hashtag. It is the 100th numbered hashtag Vegas. Yeah. Which, by the way, I always thought should have been Apex. Why? There's other stuff.
Less
in
confusing.
Vegas. Yeah.
I mean, like, there's already new hashtags usually with the events. You know, anyways, like a UFC 308, UFC 309, it's like, just leave the UFC Vegas for the Apex shows. And it certainly feels like there's been 100 events. I mean, when you count all the contender shows and the other stuff, it's been a lot more than 100 in there.
Way more than that.
Yeah.
Some other good matchups on here. Luana Pinheiro, Jillian Robertson. Obviously a shame we didn't get to talk to Jillian Robertson the other day.
I could talk to her all day long.
All the way. I will definitely be tuned in, especially on the prelims, to Matthew Simmelsberger and Charles Radke as well.
Yes, I thought of you when I do our No, they're on – main card.
Did it get bumped up to the main card? I'm still looking at UFC.com. I'm looking at an old
one. No, that's weird. All right, maybe I'm just confusing because our staff picks – maybe it was the prelim one, but I was thinking about you because I was like, "Oh shit, Chuck Buffalo made it to the main card." But yeah, when I look at Tapology,
that's a dangerous matchup too, man. Chuck Buffalo, and Matthew Simmelsberger,
Simmelsberger's
dude can be
no
dangerous.
Joke. Because I literally was thinking of you, and I was like, "All right, I'm gonna take Borgen's fucking
Let's
Chuck
go,
Buffalo on this."
Chuck Buffalo,
but then like Simmelsberger is legit, dude. He's legit, man. He's tough as nails. If Chuck Buffalo ain't ready, Simmelsberger's gonna knock him out.
Yeah, 100%. Simmelsberger, old semi the Jedi. He's dangerous, especially early, right? I mean, he comes out and he causes some issues. So I'm looking forward to that one. Obviously, as well, DeMond Blackshear came through CFFC as well. He's facing Cody Stamann, who I like Cody Stamann a lot, dude.
Nice
he's
guy.
Such a nice dude. He's been around Vegas forever.
Yep.
Treshawn Gore's on there against Antonio Trocoli. There's some good matchups all the way up and down. And I know this is, you know, the appetizer leading into New York City, so they're not going to get a lot of attention or discussion.
Yeah.
It's just a Saturday afternoon card, I guess, for us here at the Apex.
And it's smashed into one of the biggest weeks of the U.S. country history. So
some
it's like,
things are going on to steal some headlines a little bit.
A lot of people are kind of like forgetting that this is happening and stuff. But,
I'm sure that leaned into the decision of the media day, just be like, let's just throw a couple people out there.
Yeah, they still could have won it less, but because they didn't even have the full main card there. So, I mean, it was kind of interesting at that point. It's just like, why? I picked the ones you did. Like, just get the main co-main and let's just get out, you know?
I haven't heard a lot on Cody Garbrandt.
It's
unfortunate, man. I mean, I know.
When they did say something, I don't know if it was like whatever, but I mean, I know it's an injury.
Yeah.
As opposed to illness or whatever or something else. So, as for what that injury is, no clue.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Either. It's almost like, so that's a good thing. Like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. You know what I mean? You don't really know. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But
that
who
was
knows how some
of
that stuff
fight.
Pops up? Because look at the Bilal foot thing. Seemed like it popped up like in a day. Like there was nothing. You heard nothing. And all of a sudden, he's taking pictures of his blown up foot,
that
toe. Like
thing was scary.
I know, but that also looked like that's the kind of thing that doesn't. It probably didn't just slow the groan. He's like, okay, I'm gonna wait. That had the look of like that got majorly like infected and then like went whatever. But who knows? I mean, these fighters are so tough and they're so used to doing whatever. They might have just like did whatever. You know, maybe he thought it was like, oh, this is just a little staff. It's going to go away. And then
infection, bro.
Yeah.
How do
you get a bone infection? Makes me think, I mean, because you feel like it's got to get to the bone. You know, like was it a staff infection that became a bone infection?
That's interesting.
You know, like how did it get to the bone? You feel like it had to enter the blood system somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's what my guess was, that it was probably staph on the foot that became a bone infection or whatever. But I don't know. I'm not a fucking doctor.
It looks scary to me, man.
Yeah, it was gnarly. But, and again, it just seemed like it popped out of nothing, out of nowhere. So who knows what the situation. I hope it's nothing serious. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll get to see him fight again. I've always appreciated Cody. I mean, I know there's been some times in the past where he's been upset at Junkie and kind of been off to us, you know, in dealing with us, you know, in the past. But, you know, through and through, I mean, he's always been a great fighter. He's been, for the most part, always been good to us, you know, so.
Hopefully he's okay.
Hopefully everything's good. Yeah. I'm excited to see him fight again.
We had some tension over the years, but he's grown up a lot too, man.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was talking with Eric McMahon last week, and he was saying that, like, he met him at the USCPI, and he was talking about how nice he was. And he's like, yeah, I never expected him to be nice. Like, I just always thought he's – I was like, he is nice.
Well,
now.
And plus
I
this think version.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think in the last few years,
when
he's
moved
really,
to Vegas, yeah, you know, when I think when a lot of things happened between him and his wife when they separated or whatever.
It changed his perspective on a lot of stuff.
He came back a completely different person, you know, much more just focused and felt like humbled.
I like him, man. I hope he's okay. Hopefully he's good, because that was going to be a banger. Well, you mentioned Bilal, UFC 310. What do you think? You think Shavkat for an interim title, or do you think they should hold that matchup together? I mean, talking about Shavkat and Usman.
I mean, at this point, we know they love interim bouts.
Yeah.
But, you know, when somebody says it's going to be 6 weeks, why rush it? But again, this is an MSG card, like, you know, like.
Oh no! It's Vegas. Yeah, yeah,
the Las Vegas. But still, like, end of the year card, you know.
And you got a flyweight title fight in the main event, which, I mean, the flyweight division is very exciting. I mean, there's no question about it. Like, and I know that they've worked hard, but it is tough, right? Not only is it a flyweight title fight in the main event, it's a flyweight title fight that features Kaya Sakura, who most people are going to have absolutely no clue who the guy is now. I'm assuming they worked out to get all of his footage and they can show his highlights. I don't know that. I haven't seen a lot of promotional material yet, but I would think that they worked with Ryzen to get the ability to use footage. He does have a lot of very exciting footage, and he is a fun fighter to watch, and the UFC promotional machine is very good. But a flyweight title fight in a main event with a guy that doesn't have any fights inside the UFC – I know to the casual fan, that's a tough sell, right? Yeah. I mean, it just is. Like, let's just be honest. I mean, to the hardcores, people would be like, no, bro, Kaya Sakura, like, he's legit. But
isn't there supposed to be an event in January? Is there an event in January out in L.A. or somewhere? Or?
I think they're trying to figure out. I think there's talks of it being at the new Clippers Arena, the big multi-billion dollar.
But that's going to be a pay-per-view, though, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, if they could keep the fight together, I don't see why you just don't start the year off with it then.
I think so, too.
I mean, if you have the champ saying, like, bro, it's 6 weeks, it's not 6 months, don't do an interim, you know, like, keep the fight together, I could see them doing it. I think that they probably want to find something else to replace the fight. I don't know if it needs to be a, you know, a title fight.
I know
that
like
nice.
I know they like
fights,
having two title fights on pay-per-views. Like, I know that their marketing and research shows that the sales are better when they have two title fights on it. So I know they like to put on there. But I'm with you in the fact that, like, you know, I mean, look, most of the time there's not a need for interim titles anyway, right? But like every now and then there is a legitimate need for an interim title. Like, hey, man, we don't know what's going on. We don't know when the champ's coming back. Yeah. We don't want to keep the number one contender on hold. We've talked before. That allows for pay-per-view points. It allows, you know what I mean? So it's good. There's some good things for interim titles. There are some good things with interim titles. But when it's like that, when it's like the dude's going to be out 6 weeks, like, why? You know what I mean? Because even then, whoever wins it just goes, it's not the real title. The champ is like, don't you call yourself a belt? You know it's not the real title. I don't know.
You put an interim belt and then say they take an injury and then they're out for, you know, 3 or 4 months. You make the champ defend the belt while there's an interim belt. That's when we start running this whole crazy heavyweight thing.
Right.
You know, where the belt's out for a while, you know, so you say you make an interim belt, but the interim guy gets it. And then now you have an interim belt that's just sitting out there with an injured guy. It's like, why even set that variable? I mean, it sucks. I mean, like, there was a lot of fights that could have been added to the card that I think, you know, one, you took Machado Gary off the table, where a lot of people are like, man, if you would could have thrown Machado Gary versus Colby on, like, the December card, like, I don't think you need another title fight. I think a card like that, because then that brings a lot of heat, and that almost just throw that as, like, the co-main, and then you're good. Like, it's fine. You know, I think if you could find a fight like that that has a lot of heat that almost can kind of overshadow the title fight, I don't think you need two. Because
I don't
at some
think you
point,
need a second time.
you know,
why rush it? Why put together a title fight that doesn't make any sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because honestly, look, I look at this. All right, Pantoja versus Asakura again. As the hardcores will know how good of a title fight that is and how just good of a fight it is. You got options as a co-main. Now you could go with. You could go with Ciryl Gane and Alexander Volkov. That's key. You know what I mean? That'll be right off the heels. That'll be right off the heels of Madison Square Garden. So the winner is likely facing, you know, whoever, whether it be Aspinall or whether it be, you know what I mean? Like, it'll matter. You could also go Anthony Smith, Dominic Reyes. I mean, a big light heavyweight title fight. I mean, a big light heavyweight fight with, you know, former title challengers that have been around there. You could put that in the co-main event. I think you could put Nick Diaz and Vicente Luque in the co-main event, couldn't you? I mean, right? I mean, Nick Diaz in the co-main event? I think you could easily
do
that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fact that that's supposed to be starting off the main card is just – I get it why it is, like, but it's just kind of silly, too.
Yeah.
Like, you easily can –
put them market unless they're just scared. Reliability, right?
I think that's it more than anything else is that they're literally like, can we trust that Diaz is going to show up? Do we want to build a card around him being the co-main event if we're not completely sure that he makes it there?
And again, I mean, no disrespect intended. It's just I could see that that would be their concern, their logic.
I mean, bro, when was the last time you fought?
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, I mean, so like if and it wasn't like that was like people. I mean, like we remember what it was like dealing with, you know, him back then, you know, no offense, but when those guys were like the it items, the UFC, like, we have a schedule for an event. They're like, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, they weren't the easiest to deal with. Maybe that's changed, but that doesn't give them a lot of confidence. If they're going to build a card and they really need you to be there, if they can't be sure that you're going to be 100% reliable, do you want to, you know, build that into the promotional factor of it, you know?
Probably not. So that probably will not end up in the coming. Even
when they had the press conference, it's going to run late. And I can almost put money as to one of the reasons why it's going to run late, you know? It's because he's going to show up when he wants to show up.
It is weird too, right? Because like...
But he'll bring people.
He'll definitely bring people. But it's like he could either show up and just sit there and not say a word, or he could show up and just drop gold after gold after gold, but you really have no idea which it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you really don't know until it happens. It's like,
that's the thing. Even if he comes out and just huffs and puffs and just up there, the people that are there that are his fans are still going to love it. They're going to eat it up, you know? It's just, I don't know if I can make a, you know, if you're coming down and you need Jermaine and co-main to be really doing the promotional thing, he's not going to be out there pushing the fight.
No.
You know, so... But that is, in terms of name value, 100%.
It's huge.
It's 100%. But I think that's why they're leaning on him for that card in general, just to help buffer out that card. But, I don't know if that'd be one that I'd want to build the promotion around.
Nah, I get it. So, all right, I did earlier today before I came over here, in addition to my production meeting, I also had two interviews set up and scheduled. I talked to Jorge Masvidal, and I talked to Jason Knight, man,
a name that we had.
Oh, it's so great to catch up with Jason Knight.
Both
of those will be coming out on Grind City Media, so take a look at that. But some good interviews. Obviously, Jason Knight, you and I have been big fans of Jason Knight for a long time. Like, that dude is going to have some fight. You know what I mean? Like, anytime he competes, he's going to scrap. Look, man, it's not easy for him right now. He's very open about that he screwed up his UFC run. He's like, dude, I came from nothing, and all of a sudden I have money in my account. And he talks about, like, people around him, just bad influences. Everybody wanted to party. He's like, his ex-wife wanted to party all the time. And, like, nobody was really, like, dragging him in the right direction to take this shit serious. So now he's, like, working as, like a machinist all day, like, building stuff or whatever. And he has to work, like, 12 hours a day and train. So, I mean, it's not easy, but... You know, and I asked him, I was like, why do you keep doing this? And he's like, because I love this shit.
Yeah.
He's like, I just love fights. So anyway, it was a great
interview. And he's got to do it while you can do it.
That's it.
And especially like if it's something that you love. I mean.
It was great catching up.
It's not something you want to take a step away for a lot of years and then say, like, I still got that itch.
Yeah. No, you got to get that itch scratched because you only got so long to do it. So it's a great interview.
Unless it's power slap.
You can do that. So we talked. So it was great, both those interviews. But both these guys, I wanted to ask them about because it makes sense, I think, especially because they're not – well, Jorge is going to come back to the UFC. I think he's going to fight in the spring in Miami, I think is what is probably going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why would you not? That'd be silly not to. But wanted to ask them their thoughts on the settlement, right? Because I know you saw – I retweeted that thing from John Fitch the other day in MMFA, and you retweeted as well. I saw that, which is – I think it's important just to get the message out.
It's kind of like what we talked about last time was like, you know, do fighters know what they need to do?
Right.
So it made sense like one of the main guys in the party is like – do this, guys. We need this information here.
Let Perfect. Me lay it out. I thought it was
boom,
easy.
Boom, boom, boom,
so
boom.
So key, right?
And hearing the spot. I think that was one thing, too, where people like, where we were trying to exercise caution on, don't just go to any random spot that says that they might be the spot.
Right.
There's the legit spot. So when you see him say, I forget what the USA, right UFC, UFC class action, blah, blah, blah. Like, he was telling you where to go. So it's like, hey, fighters. This is you, this is what you need to do. So yep. It's perfect.
No, I thought it was great. So I decided to ask both those guys about it. So Jason Knight, I was yep. like, you know, he's straight up. He's like, I need money right now. He's like, I don't make enough money. He's like, I'm in debt right now. He's like, fighting helps pay my debt. He's like, my job helps pay my monthly bills. He's yep. like, but the debt that I have, this you know, fighting helps pay for that. I was like, wow, you know you're getting money from the UFC, right? And I think he had seven bouts, if I'm counting right. I hope I got that right. I think he had seven bouts during the yeah. period, right? So
even if he's on the low end, it's still something.
Plus, he had a lot of bonuses early on, and so like that counts into
that counts
it.
Into
yeah,
it.
So you get it's number of bouts plus the money you made. Now, he would have been on the low end of the pay scale,
yep.
but he did get bonuses and stuff, and so all that's factored in. So, yeah, even if he's on the low end, let's say, I mean, I think the least anybody's getting is $15,000, but let's say he's getting
$100,000.
Maybe. Even if it's 50, like, yeah. man, maybe that could wipe away a significant. So anyway, I asked him yeah. about it. It was interesting because he
could
was
wipe
like,
out like a truck, like a say if he owes on a truck or something.
I mean, how gone. About that? Gone.
That would be.
So I asked him about it, and he was like, "It was." But it's interesting. I'm telling you, I've talked to so many fighters. Now, these are the first two that I've talked to, like on record, because I haven't been doing a lot of interviews. But I've talked to a lot off the record, and they're just like
assistants jumping up on the table.
Appreciate here. The assistant, the feline assistant over here, just making their way into the show. The number of people who have no idea, like, what do you, so yeah. Jason was like, so Jason's answer was, I know about it. I've heard about it. I have asked around about it. He's like, but I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch. He's like, to me, he's like, I've heard maybe I could get paid next summer.
But
he's
has
like,
he done the work? Did you ask him if he went on the website?
He's like, I stopped just short of there because I didn't want to be like, well, I was like, it's UFC class action.
I almost feel like you need to reach out to him after the fact. Like,
I thought about the same thing after I got done.
Like,
I don't know who you talk to. Make sure you.
Yeah, I mean, just touch
you know
back.
I'm
like,
at least
like
send him a
I would just be like, dude, our conversation was weighing on my mind. I just want to like have you went to the website and entered your info.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, I think you need to be that voice of reason that just to.
Yeah, just
dot
go
his
here.
Eyes for
just
him
go
because,
here.
Yeah,
because yeah, you don't want to let somebody. You're right. You know what? You're right. I'm gonna do that. When we get done, I'm gonna yeah. send him a DM and just make sure he knows.
Yeah.
So that was interesting because I thought even he was like his attitude was, well, I've heard about it, but I don't know for sure that I'm gonna get it.
A lot of these guys are just waiting for somebody to reach out and say like, you're part of this.
Yeah.
Like guys, they need to know that they need to make sure that they're in there.
Which goes back to the question we were asking before, like how diligent are they gonna be about reaching out to people? Because if it's just like, well, we shot a text message or we sent an email, yep. like.
Because at the end of the day, the pool of money is to take it to all the claimants.
Right.
Less claimants,
everybody
more
gets
for
more
the
money.
Fucking pool.
Yep.
Is it really going to be in their best interest to make sure that everybody's doing it? If they're good people, which I think most of these people are, they're trying to do that. And
well,
that's
like,
what they're going out and saying it. So,
I know like Tom Lawler, you know? I had seen some interviews he'd done where he had said like, well, look, it would actually behoove me to keep my mouth shut and not say a word because I'd get more money. He's like, but – I feel bad about it.
Yeah, and I don't want to be a D-bag.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah,
I
like 100%, and that's why he's a good guy. I mean,
so,
like, yeah.
So here was the other. So Jorge, this was great. So I asked Jorge, I'm like, so I was like, this is kind of weird because I feel like you have a pretty good relationship with the UFC and like they treated you pretty well, at least for the end of your career. I know he had some – early in his career he had some
yeah.
kind of pushback, but
yeah, yeah.
but overall he was always pretty happy with them and they took care of him at the end. And I was like, what do you think about this? And he was like, well – he's like, I didn't sue the UFC. He's like, didn't you have to opt in? I'm like, no. I'm like, you're in unless you opted out. And I was like, he's like, yeah, but I love the UFC. He's like, they take care of me. And he's like, but then again, I didn't sue him. He's like, so if money's just coming my way.
I was like, if you really want, you could give it back
yeah,
to him, Jorge.
Well, that's why I was like, so are you saying you don't want it? I could see like the gears turning. He's like, but wait a minute. I didn't opt in to anything. I'm like, you don't have to opt in. You have to opt out if you didn't
yeah.
want it. He's like, well. I mean, I'm not the one that said they did anything wrong. He's
I
like,
mean, I didn't go file any paperwork. I didn't.
Like, if
I didn't
a judge
go to court.
Says they owe me some money, I mean, I love the UFC, but I love me some money too. And I was just like, I love Jorge.
There's
man.
No shame in that. I mean, like, I don't think Dana or anybody's gonna blame him. Like, bro, it's money we owed. It's not you.
Right.
Like, It's already been decided. We owe the money. Just
go get it.
Go get your
it's
money.
It's getting paid out.
It's getting paid out to somebody. Might as well go to somebody I like.
Yep.
That might be what he says.
So true.
Might go to somebody I
like.
He's
like, we can go spend it at Mar-a-Lago or something.
Like, if you feel real bad, take me out to the fucking, we'll go play poker tomorrow or something.
That's so true. I thought that was pretty interesting, man.
That is 100% pretty interesting because it's two totally different perspectives. It's
incredibly unique situations.
You know, that's
Jorge
that's
probably crazy. Doesn't need the money at all, but he's like, but I like it. I'll take free money.
I mean, at this point, even if it was like $1,000, who says no?
Yeah.
Like, why?
If they came to me right now and were like, John, you know, I don't know if you saw this. There was a lawsuit about former mixed martial arts journalists that were like, you're due for a $700 payment.
Yeah.
I'll take $700.
Dude, there was one time, like, I think there was a city tax payment or something, whatever. I got a letter from the city one point, and it was like, you get like these unclaimed properties or whatever. I don't even know what it was from. And it was like a $10 or $25, like this unclaimed thing. And it was like, oh, this is yours. And it would send a check. And I was like, cha-ching.
That's happy hour right there, baby. You know what
like,
I'm saying?
It doesn't matter. Like, if it's more than zero and
it's
somebody's giving
zero,
you something, like,
it.
Dude, that's pretty cool. Like, thank you very much, money. I was not counting on that. It was not in the budget. And now we are going to get an extra 40 today.
But you know what you said? I think it's something true, too, because I was kind of curious how Jorge would feel about it because, again, he's negotiating his comeback and all that stuff, and he's good with the UFC. But I think what you said is spot on, is that, like, I could see somebody that's currently under the roster or currently under contract or whatever being a little bit worried, like, are they going to get pissed at me?
Yeah.
But, like, the money's already there. They have to pay it regardless. They're not going to get pissed at you. Like, you didn't file the suit, you know what I mean? And so – go get your money. You know what I mean? They probably would honestly be like, dude, if we already have to pay this money anyway, you should go get some of it.
Yeah. At that point, I mean, like, you're not – at the end of the day, yes, it's great if you think that you're saving face or whatever, but Hunter and all these guys, they got so much other stuff they're paying attention. They're not really looking to see a fighter X out of how many – 1,500, 1,300?
1,300.
Fighters are – did they check in?
Yeah.
Did they – whatever? Like,
I'm sure
– they don't care.
I don't even know if they – I wonder if they do get a list afterwards. I mean, somebody has to monitor that list, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure if they could probably file some motion to say, hey, after the fact, we know we had to do it. Because it was a party. The whole point of, like, doing, like, class action so you can unify it sort of as, like, one little thing.
Yeah.
So you don't have 1,300 different ones.
Right.
So I'm sure they could file something to find out after the fact. But maybe they don't have to provide that stuff. But honestly, I don't think they care at this point. I think they're so focused on the future, I don't think they would hold it against anybody, even if you're still on the roster. And I think with Jorge, I don't think he has anything to worry about it, because at the end of the day, he could probably joke and go to Dana and say, see, I knew I could find another way to get money out of you, and I got it without even doing a thing, brother. So let's go have a drink and let's laugh about it, because it's not coming out of Dana's pocket.
Right.
It's not coming out of Hunter's pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's not like they're personally having to write a check for this thing. So,
so true.
At the end of the day, I don't think there's any real ill will feeling it. Do they at the end of the day think like, wow, that could have been an extra corporate bonus that we got, you know, out or something? Sure, but it's the cost of business. And I think most people could look at the fact that they've been skating by for quite a while, not paying a lot of these fighters probably their fair share. It was bound to happen where they're going to have to chuck up some money, you know, and this is just part of it. And it still goes back to the fact that we said that they could have paid a hell of a lot more. So at the end of the day, with this dollar amount, it's still a lot less than what they probably should have paid out. So I don't think there's any sour grapes at all, because it's already done and said. So, like, it's not like they're going to be like, oh, my day's ruined, because I'm still thinking about how that lawsuit got through.
So true.
You know? When at one point it was supposed to be like $1.5 billion.
That they could get troubled and they could be so.
Like, When the dollar came out, we were like, oh, that's it?
Yeah.
They're celebrating.
So not the same thing.
They're celebrating like, on their boat somewhere.
Like, spread out over three payments. Let me just give you one payment now. Let me just hand it to you in cash.
That's a whole nother thing right there. You know, a spread out over payments. The fact that they could literally build their future finances around having this payment, but they could literally, because we talked about in the past, you know, like some of the ways how they used to do some operating, they would take these massive loans and they would work off the loans to get money back and say taking Fox money, take another shot, pay down the loan, take a new loan out. They could just work it all and say there's a payment come due. All right, well, we'll take another loan. We'll take money from this. We'll pay this off.
Yep.
Now we got this whole fresh start over here, and it's no fucking sweat off their back, man.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, so if you are entitled to that money, do not have any fear about paying, getting, taking your money of what you are owed. And
if you happen to know somebody that falls in that class,
reach
2010
out
to 2017, reach out to them. Get them to fill out UFCClassAction.com.
And a lot of people that that listen to this, a lot of the media people are friends with a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
I think just if you know somebody and you're friends with somebody, just ask them, like, bro, did you do the work? Did you go to this website? Did you file your name? Did you give them all your information, your email, your phone number? You did? Okay, cool.
Cool, you're set.
You're set, yep. You know.
But
don't expect somebody's going to just show up at your door with a check.
And we said it before.
That might not happen.
And I see other people saying it, and I do think it's so important for everybody to understand, you do not have to have anybody help you with this. They will.
Yeah,
don't need to pay anybody a percentage to do this. They don't have to.
Yeah.
So
just listen to this podcast, and you can join for the Patreon, and we'll tell you all the fine details.
Patreon.com/MMAroadshow.
Don't pay anybody else is what we're saying.
No,
but
don't pay anybody else other than us for as little as $3 a month. We will get you your class action money. In fact, you can even get 10% off that if you sign up for the annual plan. And yeah, too funny. Yeah, don't pay anybody. All right, listen, I will be at the Apex on Saturday with you, so we will watch some fights there. Busy week next week, but I'll be in town. I thought I was going to get to pull off Madison Square Garden for UFC 309, and I'm not. Just the logistics of getting to everywhere I need to be. So CFFC match day. Next week, we got two of them. So, Division I College Wrestling, Friday night in Buies Creek, North Carolina, on the campus of Campbell University. They will be having a matchup there with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And then on Sunday, I will be in Toms River, New Jersey, of course, hometown of Frankie Edgar. I mean, you just can't hear the name Toms River, New Jersey and not think about Frankie Edgar. But NC State will have a couple of duels there against Princeton and Rutgers that we will be broadcasting as well. So, I will be on the call for that one, which I'm looking forward to doing that. It was such a crazy week. Cold coffee and all of our traveling. I have never been more exhausted than I was last week. Went from Vegas to Denver, then drove to Cheyenne, did the event in Cheyenne. Hopefully everybody got to see that. It was the start of the entire Division I college wrestling season. Wyoming actually got their rematch, and they got their revenge on Campbell University at the duel at the daddy.
The duel at the daddy.
It was good. So,
so they ran at the end, like, now who's your daddy?
So that was great. So that was a great matchup. There were some great upsets. Some freshmen that came in there and just absolutely delivered. So that was cool.
From
Cheyenne, we drove back to Denver, crashed out in that hotel real quick, flew to Washington, D.C. the next day, and then drove from Washington, D.C. down to Virginia near the base, Joint Base Langley Eustis, did an afternoon show. So after the grappling show that we did was less than 48 hours after the wrestling show, and it was on opposite sides of the country. And then immediately as soon as the grappling show was over, then I had to drive back up to Washington, D.C., get some quick sleep, jump on a plane, and fly home. It was insanely exhausted. I was so worn out, but it was one of those moments, bro, where I was flying home, man, and I was tired. And like honestly, when I got home, I didn't even do the and a half show until Monday morning because I could not put my thoughts together. Just hanging out with my wife and kid on Sunday, I was so exhausted. But I had one of those moments where I was flying home and I just had like a big smile on my face where I was like, damn, dude, like this is where I wanted to get it to, right? Like, involved in the production, doing commentary on two events in 3 days across the country, getting to be around all this stuff and enjoy it. And it's taking me a couple years to really get everything going. But it was really rewarding. You would have enjoyed being out at Joint Base Langley Eustis. We were out there closer to the Fort Langley side, the Air Force side of it. But that's a big military installation.
That's cool.
All the active duty military members and stuff that were in the hangar and get to enjoy it. There's an airman that was promoted like right before we went on air.
Oh, that's cool.
He had no idea that it was up for it, so they did that right
that's
in front
awesome.
Right? So anyway, it was a cool week. But crazy week coming up next week. I will not be at 309. I got to figure out when to do the and a half episode.
Because for a while you were trying to do the fight night.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to do it. Yeah. So here's the problem is that Friday night we're in Buies Creek, North Carolina, which is about an hour from the Raleigh-Durham airport. And then Sunday we're in Tom's. It's just there was no like really good way to get everywhere, basically. You know what I mean? So I was sad to realize it was one of those things where like you probably could have figured out a way to make it happen, but there would be so many opportunities for delays and it to fail. And
you're like, eh.
Yeah, and that was just kind of, I don't want to say me being selfish to be there for 309, but yeah, I wanted to be there for 309, you know what I mean? So finally I had to just say, look.
I mean, we're all still pretty sure that we're going to see the end of somebody's career at that event.
If not both, If not both. It's an interesting one. We'll talk about all that next week.
Let's debate Pearls out of Magic.
Oh, can you imagine?
It's not going to happen, but Stone how cool Stipe would that be?
you are going to Manhattan, right? You're going to New York?
Yeah.
So you leave
fly in
Tuesday?
I leave Tuesday. So I actually I leave early on Tuesday. I think I get there around 4:15. I was trying to hopefully hook up with some of the USAT staff, the USA Today staff, but they're going to be out of the office by then because rush hour in New York, regardless of the time. So I think they get done shooting during the day and then they're out of the city. So unfortunately, I won't see them. But yeah, I'll get there Tuesday. I like it.
Staying
it's
in
a little more
midtown like normal, or
it's up a little bit closer to Central Park this time.
Okay,
so it's a little still.
That's where the host hotel is, or just where you are. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yep. Yeah. It's about a block even closer to Central Park. I forget what the name of it is, but yeah, it's a little bit.
That's
more.
That's nice. I'll give you a different little area to
so
walk around.
So actually, one of the days, I'll probably try to just actually go and just tool around. I think I've been around Central Park. I've never really taken time to just sort of like kick it and
Central
spend time
Park,
there.
I will say this, so. And you know. Look, I'm not the biggest Manhattan fan. I've been honest about that. Like, not that I don't like New York, but I don't know. I guess I'm from Texas and space, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is. But I will say this. Central Park, to me, is like, I don't know. I mean, in the middle of this mass chaos of just human-built stuff, then you have this – it's huge too. It's not like, oh, there's a little park. Like, park isn't even the right word for it.
Yeah, when I say when I've been around it, like we drove around it, and it takes a while to navigate around
it. It's like a nature reserve in the middle of the city. Like, it is pretty cool. That's honestly one of my favorite things, like flying into it, is just that look of Central Park in the middle of New York, man.
I'm excited to see that. But, yeah, I mean, fight nights in New York are always crazy getting out of there and then – you're so tired, and then it's usually trying to go to the airport. I think my flight's out at like 11, so I think I have a little bit of time to sleep. But if not, it's always just crazy trying to catch a ride, and now we're going to have to go a little bit further than we did last time. But, I enjoy New York. I mean, it's nice in bits and pieces. Like, it's not – it'd be different if maybe we were there like every month, and then deal with that. But when you only go like once a year –
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty nostalgic and cool to kind of walk through Times Square, and they have great food there. So I'm going to be hitting up some multiple ramen spots and getting some pizza and stuff. So I'll do my thing there.
To JFK or LaGuardia?
LaGuardia.
That's the play. Just telling you right now, if you go to JFK, you can go to LaGuardia. LaGuardia is closer.
Super
they got the
easy,
nice.
Peasy.
They got the newer, especially if you're flying American Airlines, they got the new terminal over there. It's super nice.
I'll be flying the Southwest.
Southwest? All right. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they go to the new terminal. Maybe they do too.
But still, two bags for free is when you have no status on any airline, it is expensive to fly with multiple bags.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that Southwest gives you two bags, I'm just like, you have my business.
I had to fly. So this past week,
a little bit cheaper too.
I had to fly because, again, we were very specific about what flights we were on. I flew United.
Yeah.
And so I have no status whatsoever. But thank God. I had a few points in the bank so that I could actually, like, at least pick a seat. Because, like, seats were, like, the one they auto-assigned me was, like, middle in the last row. I was like, hell no. Yeah. Luckily, I had enough points in my thing. I could
I get, like, anxious, like, anxiety when, like, I have to board and then I have, like, my two bags I need to get up in the thing. Like, if I don't have any sort of, like, status or whatever, like, I'm, like, I can't afford to like let somebody mishandle my gear and try to stick it under the plane. It's like, I have to get on there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I always argue before if they ever said like, why do you buy the early bird or why you do the whatever? I'm like, cause I have to get my shit in the thing.
Cause like, if you reach that cutoff point where you're like, sir, we have to take your bag. Like, dude, you can't take this bag. It has thousands of dollars worth of gear in it.
I literally wouldn't be like so anxious during the flight.
Yeah.
And I mean, luckily I have a Pelican case. So if I had to, it'd be fine. But I don't want it to have to. I don't want to have that option. I mean, we've all seen the videos of somebody mishandling shit, and it's like, it might be a big case, and it might look like you could throw it around, but it's still got delicate stuff on the inside.
Yeah, you still don't want to throw it around.
Yeah.
Like maybe it won't get direct impact, but it's still just getting shaken and thrown and stuff. It's not good. So, well, busy week. Like I said, I'll be on the call for both those college wrestling matches. I'm honored. It's cool for me. Like, obviously, I'm not the expert in college wrestling, and I don't try to pretend I am, because I don't like it when people are like act like they know more than they do or pretending they're not. But I actually, you know, obviously the wrestling ties to MMA are undeniable. And well, so,
and we've seen people make the transition. Yeah. I've seen the guys come over from Ohio State, Lance Palmer, you know, there's been multiple guys. Like, you are literally seeing potential future guys. Like, imagine if you went in, like, when Bo Nickel was competing or when Daniel Cormier was competing.
100%.
You know, like, how cool would that have been to been able to see them back in their collegiate days?
That's what I'm excited. I love it, man. And you really see these athletes, like, you can see, like, oh, man, some of these would be incredible. But even like this, like at UFC 309, if you look at the card, this was another reason I kind of wanted to go up there, and because I wanted to like maybe get on like the UFC pre-show or whatever and talk about a little match day and that sort of thing. But look, I mean, you look at who's on the card. First of all, you look at the main event: John Jones, Stipe Miocic. Both of them wrestled in college, of course. Michael Chandler wrestled at Missouri. We're actually doing three of Missouri's home matches later this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Bo Nickel, of course, is amazing, which, by the way, Bo Nickel versus Paul Craig.
That's going to be fun.
I love that fight. Absolutely love that fight. Chris Weidman.
How long until Paul Craig drops to his back?
That's why, I mean, look.
But, like, do you want to drop to your back against a really good wrestler, or do you try to throw hands?
Well, and that's just, but the same thing. Think about from Bo Nickel. I mean, what does Bo Nickel do? He takes you down. Where does Paul Craig want to be? You on top of him. He wants you to take him down. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Look, Bo Nickel could actually steamroll, but you know what big fans we are of Paul Craig, and I just stylistically, I'm so intrigued by that. Yeah. So anyway, if you haven't checked out college wrestling, do it. Division I college
Chris
wrestling,
CFSC match.
That's what I said. Chris Weidman was a big time college wrestler. There's a lot of college wrestling ties to this.
Yeah.
It's fun. It moves quick.
Marcus McGee wrestled too, didn't he?
He did. I believe so. So I'm involved with the production of it, which is fun. I'm really enjoying that stuff, doing like graphic design and stuff, man. It's
look at you.
I'm telling you, bro, I'm stepping on my game. All the skills coming together. So anyway, check it out. And then we will be, and it just got announced, so we can talk about it openly, but we will be at CFFC returning to our mixed martial arts events as well in December. We're not doing one in November, but December 13th. Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Atlantic City.
Look at that.
Yes, busy.
Busy man.
Which I'm loving. All right, listen. Speaking of busy, I gotta go. I gotta go take my young son to jiu-jitsu practice. He's getting close to switching over to the adult class.
Wowzers.
His voice is starting to change. He's starting to man. It's,
he's getting tall too.
He's getting taller. Daniela is like lamenting every day that like.
It happens quick. I'm seeing it in my nieces and nephews. I'm just like, they're like little weeds just sprouting up.
You know what happened at my house today?
Huh?
The Christmas lights got put on outside the house.
Oh, my God.
And the Christmas tree is up in my living room. It's November 6th. It's November 6th. That happened.
She is the stereotypical person that people laugh about. But like, oh, Halloween's done.
Bro,
and then, boom, here we go.
I don't know when it became like she just loves to decorate the house.
She didn't do it this early last year, did she?
No, but this time she was like, you know what? I love it so much. She was like,
Did she decorate outside?
No, not yet. So for Halloween, we had like 7 skeletons out there. We had all kinds of stuff,
I just wonder if the neighbors would be like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's usually you're supposed to wait till Thanksgiving is done, then you do it.
That's kind of what I thought. But like,
That's typically what people do.
I also just, you know, want to be happy at home, so I didn't say anything. But I was a little bit surprised.
Like, babe, where do you want me to put some other decorations?
The good thing is she hired a guy to this guy's been doing it in our house for you. It's awesome. He's really good. He comes and like hangs everything, then he comes and takes it all down, stores it.
Wow.
He does all that. And like, she paid for it on her own, so she didn't ask for any money from me. She paid for it. She got it done. I didn't have to lift a hand, so I can't complain.
Yeah.
The Christmas tree, she put it all up on her own, and she was just like, when she told me what she was doing, she told me a couple weeks ago, she's like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. She's like, I really like the Christmas lights. She's like, I'm thinking basically right as soon as Halloween is over, I'm just going to put up the Christmas lights. She's like, and I don't want you to say anything because I just like it and it makes me happy. And I was like, all right, 17 years together. I have learned that if you tell me shut up, I will shut up. So I'm like, you're paying for it. You don't need anything from me. I don't have to lift a finger. My silence is official.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
But I will save it here.
Happy wife, happy life.
It
right?
did make me laugh. I'm like, this. Like the dude
it's a bit
is
extreme.
The dude.
It's
so I'm sitting in my office. I'm sitting in my
you're
office
not first,
upstairs.
You're last.
I'm telling you, we're not last. I'm sitting in my office, and the dude's like walking on our roof, like putting the thing on, and she's down there putting the tree up, and I'm like,
wow.
It's November 6th. What are we doing?
That's awesome.
It was funny. So anyway, but yeah, I got to go home, take my kid to jiu-jitsu, and yeah. Get all settled
in. Get in the Christmas spirit.
Get in the Christmas spirit. I guess I gotta get my shopping done.
Well, now you can have an excuse to drink eggnog and all your Christmas drinks already.
That's good.
Say, I'm just getting in the spirit, hon. You know, the Christmas lights are on. You know, I might as well just start drinking my spiked eggnog.
I was just gonna throw some whiskey in tonight and just a little apple cider. Dude.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I never thought – I mean, I think I enjoyed eggnog, but now as I got older, especially when I figured out that you could, like, spike it and put
shit – It's a little weird if you don't spike it.
True.
Right? I mean, it's a weird
but
drink.
I think I thought it was, like, interesting, but as a kid. But now I'm just, like, as an adult, I'm just like, yeah, okay. I'm with you, eggnog.
I like it. I'm going to go buy some I might, whiskey and some eggnog.
I was just thinking that, too. I was like, ah, shit.
Merry cheer. Hello. I'm coming through. All right, and a half episode over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. I'll deliver that for you this weekend, and we'll figure out everything for next week, whether we do remote, whether we bring in some guest assistants.
Probably do something like that. I'm sure we'll find some people there.
We'll find some way to make that happen. You know we're going to deliver 502 consecutive weeks. It's never stopped before. It's not going to stop now. So we appreciate your support more than anything, of course. Thanks for listening.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.